I'm Dani Shapiro, and this is The Way We Live Now. Each Friday, we're going to turn the show over to our listeners. We want to hear your stories. This is how we connect with each other, by sharing the way we live now. If you have a story, please do call us. You'll hear our number at the end of this episode. Our first message today is from Allie, an anxiety sufferer who in early March had finally worked up the courage to ask to work from home one day a week.
Hi, Dani. My name is Allie. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I didn't think too much before I called, but felt the need to just talk, I guess. Before we ended up in quarantine, actually like a week before, I had requested, per the direction of my therapist, to work from home one day a week, and it was kind of a big deal, like, to make that request, and I was like, okay, well, you can do this, and it's approved, but, like, don't make a big deal about it, because we don't want other people thinking they can work from home one day a week. And then, yeah, 1 week later, it was like, oh, by the way, nobody's coming back, and you're working from home every day. So, like, this strange paradox, I guess, of, like, needing and wanting to work from home to help with my anxiety, because going into work every day and the idea of, like, having to get ready and go in and deal with people and all these things, like, very overwhelming to me. And I can be very productive working at home. So went from needing and wanting that to now, like, that I'm forced to do it. Now, of course, it seems like I'm trapped, and that creates a whole new anxiety. So it's been interesting and challenging, especially since I work in healthcare. I'm not a provider. I work in administration, but being told, you know, don't plan to come back to work anytime soon for the foreseeable future. You'll be working remotely. So it's created an extra loneliness. I do have a 14-year-old daughter, but she splits her time between here and her friend's house. We did kind of like a shared custody with her and her friends, so she can have some kind of normalcy and interaction. But yeah, it's strange. And I guess what brings me comfort, or like my saving grace, is that people have adapted to using video conferencing, and there's something so important and so necessary to being able to see other people's faces. There's something very different between being on a phone call and versus being video connected. So that's been one thing that has helped, is just being able to see faces, even if it's, you know, everyone's in their jammies or whatever, or I'm the only greasy one. I don't care. I just want to see people. So that's been helpful. But this is a crazy situation. And, you know, I used to enjoy time out on my balcony, but now my balcony is just dreary, because it's like I see a strip mall across the parking lot that is empty, and, you know, cars going by, and it doesn't feel as relaxing and exciting as it used to be. And there's just no reprieve, it seems, from anything.
Our next caller is Meg, a nurse practitioner whose family had lots of exciting milestones to look forward to in 2020. They've since had to adjust their expectations of what those milestones will look like.
Hi, Dani. My name's Meg Parker. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner in a rural health clinic in southern Indiana. And 2020 had a lot of dreams for us. We had two of my four beautiful sons were getting married in 2020. We are expecting a grandchild in June of 2020. And so lots of showers and bachelor parties and all the fun that goes with those family celebrations. My third son is a nurse in the Army in Washington, D.C., and he was deployed to the Javits Center in New York City, and I was completely terrified. It just changed everything about the way that we're living right now, even though in my own practice, we're relatively guarded because we are not seeing sick patients. So he has thankfully tested negative three times for COVID and has left the New York City area after taking care of 500 COVID patients. And he is headed back to Washington, D.C., probably to take care of more COVID patients at Walter Reed But I think more than anything, I just think about this is not what we expected for this year, but we find beauty in moments that we didn't anticipate, a virtual baby shower and no bachelor party, but it's all beautiful and we're still a family and we're still healthy and we still have jobs. I have a 90-year-old father who I worry about, but he has learned how to FaceTime, and so that's a beautiful thing too. So finding beauty in small moments, and this just isn't where we thought we would be right now, but it's all okay. Thanks for listening, and I love your show. Thanks. Bye.
Today's final message is from a listener named Sarah, who was struggling with some pretty intense feelings of despair about the state of the planet way before the pandemic hit.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'm calling from the west coast of Canada. Thank you so much for The Way We Live Now. It is, I think, just what the doctor ordered. I've listened to a lot of them and loving them. So how am I living now? Outwardly, I think probably similarly to a lot of people. I am lucky enough to still have a job and working from home and trying to balance that with suddenly homeschooling the kids and kind of extra domestic responsibilities, worrying about my parents and the safety of loved ones and the world. Inwardly, I think my experience is also similar to a lot of people's right now, and that I've noticed my feelings are a little more intense, both frustration and fear, but also gratitude and kind of enjoyment of this, I don't know, this time of pause with my family. But what I'm calling about is another kind of inward shift that I've also noticed during this time that I'm wondering if other people have also experienced. And for me, it took me a while to figure out what it was that felt different. And I think what I've nailed it down to is this. For about the last 10 years or more, and increasingly over time, I felt this kind of undertow of grief and anxiety. And I think the grief is related to losing what we've already lost in the ways that we live now, and what we've lost as a species, and what my children probably won't experience, and yours. And I think increasingly it felt like this sort of internal alarm system I've had about the state of the planet, it's getting louder and more persistent in my soul and feels less and less in step with what's going on in the world around me, around us, in our society, in the way that we interact with the world. And I remember a few years ago trying to describe this feeling to a therapist that I went to see when work was really stressful. And without hesitation or further investigation, he said, I think you need to get more sleep. So, yeah, it just felt kind of out of step. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've noticed since this pandemic has forced us to make this massive shift to staying home and social distancing, that suddenly it feels like this kind of building sense of a hair on fire emergency that I experience internally, suddenly that feels like it's somehow being reflected in the drastic shifts of the outside world and the grief and the fear this disease have brought up for all of us. It does somehow feel like something internally for me has kind of fallen into alignment. Like then the outside world reflects my inner world a little better. And I recognize that no one wants this virus to stick around. And, you know, an economy in which a good quarter of the population can't participate in is disastrous. But I guess my hope is that since everything has been burned to the ground in an economic sense and many other senses for many people, that I'm wondering if more of us will come out of this pandemic with a sense of a million ways it might be possible to do things differently in small personal ways into massive structural ways. And will the losses that so many have endured and witnessed and learned to live with even possibly allow more of us to break free from this narrative that jobs and a healthy economy are somehow at odds with the changes needed to slow the warming of the earth to a degree that we can continue to live here without destroying ourselves and the natural world around us. So yeah, that's my hope. And I'm going to try. I'm going to try to live more that way. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Way We Live Now. Tell us the way you're living now. We want to hear. Call us on, you might want to get a pen for this, 909-713-8995. That's 909-713-8995. And record your story, and we might just use it on the pod. Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/thewaywelivenowpod. We are creating a community here, and we would love for you to join us. You can find me on Instagram at Danny Ryder. The Way We Live Now is a production of iHeartRadio. It's produced by Lowell Brulanti. Beth Ann Macaluso is executive producer. Special thanks to Tristan McNeil and Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.